how to, you know, to have a proper Rosh Hashanah and all these days of judgment. First of all, the halacha is shofar shel Rosh Hashanah mitzvato b'shel ayil. But the best type of shofar is a shofar, right, that it's made from the horn of a ram. Ram mishul gusfande nar, right? It's the male one. And ayil, the word ayil in Hebrew means strong, because the male one is much stronger than the other one. So here, when it comes to shofar, the Shulchan Aruch says, right, shofar shel Rosh Hashanah mitzvato b'shel ayil, that the preferred type of a shofar is a ram, right, that is made, it's taken from ram. What message does it have for us? So the Shulchan HaKadosh says that Torah wants to give us a message that the preferred way of doing teshuva is that the person should do teshuva when he's young, when he's strong, right? Not when he's older and early. I mean, we are going to see other shofarot are also accepted, right? But this is the preferred one, the best, right? The ideal shofar is made of, and this is the common, most of the shofarot that you see are from ram. So some of them are processed, like they make it like a smoothie out, etc., with the heat, etc. Some use the unprocessed one, like in very, I think, you know, Yosef here uses, I use one that is processed a bit, but Rav Yosef uses just the ram that it's totally natural. So what's the message? That, you know, this is the best, right, the preferred shofar. So Shofar says it means that, as we said, that an ayil, it symbolizes like a strength. That when a person does teshuva and they come closer to Hashem and they are young, that type of teshuva is much more preferred in the eyes of Hashem than somebody who, an old age, they would do teshuva. Right? You see, the Gemara tells us that a person should be very careful in Tfilat Mincha. Tfilat Mincha, like, you know, because this is because Eliyahu HaNavi was answered Mincha time. So I think the Baal HaTanya says that why Mincha is more right and accepted by Kadosh Baruch Hu than other prayers, because Mincha, like, you know, we have like, you know, we have the prayers are parallel to different periods in our lives. Shacharit, the morning prayer, it's like youth and childhood. It's a very beginning, right? Mincha is like, you know, the youth, and then Arvit is when people get old. So when a person, when he's young, if he keeps the mitzvot, it's not a big deal, because when his father took his hand, took him to shul, etc. So shacharit, it's not such a difficult prayer. When a person is young, a lot of times, like, you know, a lot of averot don't start when we are young. And on the other hand, when it's the night time of life, when it's arvit, there also, and I'm sure I'm just some pirshut yet chkar bekone ya yevre to parki lasine ge takhte bezane. Yeah, but what else could he do? Right? So then, so honar nakarde, so to speak. Right? Ki honar karde? Kas ke miad mincha mikhone. Mincha, it's when you are young and, you know, with full energy, etc. Then, if you do teshuva, if you go to daven, you go to pray, u honar karde. That's why. So this is the same message. That's the same message. The same message that here. If shofar is to symbolize teshuva, the best teshuva is when a person is young. When he's young and he could, you know, do a lot of, you know, chataim, and he holds himself back. This is much more preferred. It's no comparison to an older person doing teshuva, right? And we know that, you know, Rambam says, when could the person know that he's really a baal teshuva? Famous Rambam. Rambam says, if, like, you know, if a young man, like, you know, sinned with a certain lady, so when do we know if he's fully baal teshuva? If everything else equal, it's like a scientific experiment in college. right? That, you know, he has his youth, he has the desire, and etc. And all the circumstances are similar to the time that he did the sin, and this time he holds himself back and refrains from doing the sin. So then he is a true Baal Teshuva. So that's why it's very important. Like, you know, this is the message of Shofar Shel Ayil, true, right? As it says, Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah, Mitzvato B'Shel Ayil. Mitzvato B'Shel Ayil means, it doesn't mean that other Shofarot are not accepted, but the best, the preferred, right, Shofar is a Shofar of Ayil, a ram's horn, and it should be bent, kafuf. If it's like in a Shofar, like a stick, straight, it's also kosher. But this is not, again, the preferred Shofar. The preferred Shofar is kafuf. And obviously that kfifa, that, you know, being bent, right, Shlach HaKadosh says, שצריך הבעל תשובה שישפיל את עצמו ויהיה כפוף. Like bending over, it's like it's a sign of being humble, right? A condition to do true tshuva is the realization that, you know, that the person, like, you know, I was having a discussion today with somebody. I told a certain lady that I know, she's very depressed. I told her, you know what? I don't think you need to do tshuva, because, you know, I know if she thinks about, you know, she has such low self-esteem, that she, when she says vidu, she gets depressed, right? So I told her that for you, it's not a mitzvah to say vidu, etc., etc. But usually the problem is that, you know, ge'avo gorur eliya, right? Usually, right, the biggest problem is when a person, right, doesn't want to admit that they have sinned. You know, there's a midrash that says that Adam stands for Adam three letters, Aleph, Dalet, Mem. The Aleph of Adam stands for Adam Arishon. The Dalet stands for David, and the Mem stands for Mashiach. That's the acronym of Adam. What does it mean? What's the message? Rabbi Mefarshim say that David HaMelech complemented Adam Arishon. And through this combination, you're going to have Mashiach, is going to come from David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech, Adam Arishon, had one major shortcoming. The fact that he sinned, he cannot hold it against him. Hashem created Yetzer Hara, right? Hashem created Satan, the Yetzer Hara, and it was definitely, it was the possibility of sin was there, right? The problem wasn't that Adam HaRishon sinned. The problem was that after what he sinned, what did he do? After Adam HaRishon sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts him. Says, what did you do? So what did Adam HaRishon say? Taksir man labud. In zani ki man dadiye. Ha'isha asher natat ha'imadi. It's her fault. It's her fault. You see, David HaMelech did not take responsibility. That was a problem. Right? He did not take responsibility. Right? If David HaMelech, Adam HaRishon, when he sinned, it's not me. It's not my fault. You gave me the woman, you gave me Chava, it's her fault.
Yehudi.
What?
Yehudi. It's not like Yehudi, like Yehuda.
Yes, that's right. Right. So, but you see, but David HaMelech was the opposite. David HaMelech also sinned quite a few times. But whenever David HaMelech would sin, he would take responsibility. He says, Chatati l'Hashem. Right? And because of that, he compliments Adam HaRishon. That's why also you see, you know, Adam HaRishon lived 930 years, David HaMelech 70 years. That makes up, you know, and it's a whole thing that, you know, Adam HaRishon gave him from his life 70 years to, he gave 70 years of his life to David HaMelech, because David HaMelech was there to compliment Adam HaRishon. So that's why the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah, first is, we said, it has to be ayil. It means doing tshuva. Baruch Hashem, you're all young, right? They say, you know, Reb Eli Lopian, before Rosh Hashanah, always we go to the yeshiva and we'd see people that they have, like, you know, black beard. I said, I'm so jealous of you. You're young, right? I'm an old man. For me to do tshuva, it's not such a big deal. I don't get such a sachar, but you're young, right? So first is the preferred teshuva we learn from the shofar is teshuvat yuf ay. Second, the shofar has to be kafuf. Kafuf means bent. Bent means it's to be humble, right? To be humble, and part of that is to confess, to acknowledge that we have shortcomings. But this cannot cause depression, as I said. People like, you know, have this tendency for depression, etc. They should not really. I would tell them they should skip a lot of the tefillot of Yom Kippur. A lot of the Gilan Chatati, Aviti, Poshati, as it is, they are, you know. But, you know, usually that's not the case. Usually the problem is that, you know, we are the children of Adam HaRishon, and we don't realize the shortcomings. We think we are driving the perfect speed, right? That, you know, whoever is faster than me is wrong, and whoever is less than me is also wrong, right? So that acknowledgement, it's one of the essentials of a proper teshuva, and we learn it from the shofar, right? It should be shel'ayil, and second condition is that it should be kafuf, bent over, that it should be that humility, right, and acknowledging the shortcomings. But at the same time, Shulchan Aruch says, ubedi'eved kol ha'shofarot kesherim. But, you know, this is, you know, it doesn't mean that the only teshuva that is going to be accepted is teshuva at youth. No. Any time a person does teshuva is accepted. It's not as rewarding, right? But kol ha'shofarot. Kol ha'shofarot are kesherim. It doesn't make a difference. The shofar is made from horn of which animal, right? It doesn't have to be even from kosher animals, right? There is one exception, that the horn of a bull, of a cow, is not accepted. Shofar shel chutz mishel para shepasul b'chol gavna. Right, a shofar made from a horn of a bull, of a cow, that's not kosher. So what's the message? So Shlach Kadosh says, because the para reminds us of the paraduma, and the paraduma is timima be'admut achet, right? Because like, it's totally red. Totally red, it's a person that has like gava, that he does not acknowledge, right, that he needs to do tshuva, and it's symbolized by the param. That's why, right, that's why the if it's made for the, if the shofar is made from the thing, from the horn of a cow, this is not accepted. Then, you know, we have a halakha as far as the sounds that are made through the shofar, which sounds are kosher, which sounds are not kosher. And here also, we have messages for teshuva, right? So the Shlach HaKadosh says, Kol ha-kolot kesherim b'shofar. Al tikri kulot ela kalot. See, the halakha is that the quality of the sound that is created from the shofar doesn't matter. A lot of people think, you know, if it's weak, or like, you know, it's like trembling, it doesn't make a difference. Any type of sound that comes out of the shofar, it's okay. As long as, like, you know, the halachot of, like, you know, of shvarim, trua, right, tkia, are observed, and each one of them has a length, right? There's a, you know, there are halachot, like, you know, how long it should be, but it's not really the quality of it, like, you know, if it's like, you know, high pitch, low pitch, etc. That doesn't matter, and that also it's to symbolize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts all kinds of teshuva. There is not, like, you know, one level, right? Right? It's not all or nothing, right? I was talking to a group of ladies that they are not observant. So I was talking about, you know, Shabbat candles, etc. So a lady told me, look, you know, I don't keep Shabbat. Do I still have to light candles? I said, yes, definitely. Right? It's not all or nothing. Right? And, you know, this is what you have to do. And, you know, but just make sure before it's dark. Sure, you whatever you do counts. It's not all or nothing. There's a doctor that, you know, just recently had to move for his internship somewhere in a, there's no Jewish community whatsoever. And he called me up and he said, they are not letting me go for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Right? And so I told him, like, you know, if he has, I mean, he's a doctor. So doctors, we know, for Pikuach Nefesh, any kind of life-threatening situation or anything that could come to that, they are allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat. It's a mitzvah even to do that. So I was telling him, like, you know, even in a den, to try to do it with minimizing Chilul Shabbat as much as possible. It's not all or nothing. Right, so that's why kol hakolot kesherin b'shofar. When you're talking about shofar that symbolizes teshuvah, it's you know, it's not all or nothing. Every little bit counts. And the truth of the matter is, like, you know, it's not really as much as, you know, where we are standing that counts. What really counts, especially in Rosh Hashanah, is the direction where we are going. One of my favorite sayings of the of Katzke Rebbe is that Katzke Rebbe says, if you have two people that are standing on a ladder, one of them is on the 90th you know, step, and one is on the 5th, which one is higher? So you would say the one on the 90th. He said, no, he says, it depends on the direction, which direction they are going, right? If the one who is on the 90th is going down, and the one on the 5th is climbing, so it's just a question of time that this guy that is climbing is going to be much higher than the one who's coming down, right? You have sometimes, you know, unfortunately, I have witnessed that. You have guys that, you know, they were in a yeshiva for some time. They come out, and they don't open a sefer. They don't learn, you know. And you have somebody that was never in yeshiva, but they come to learn every day. So it's just a question of time when this beginner is gonna, you know, is gonna be much higher than the other one. It's not where you are. It's what direction we are going. You know, a person has to be in growth mode, and we have to realize, on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not look, right, where, you know, where we are. Hashem looks which direction we are going. So therefore, if a person makes a commitment to go a certain direction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already would count, would give him the credit, as if he's there. This is, you know, there are, we don't have time for this, but there are certain, you know, maybe for Yom Kippur, maybe next week I'm going to talk about this, next Tuesday. It's a etzot, some devices, how could we really turn around, God forbid, something that is not supposed to be good, you know, there are certain, it's not tricks, some suggestions, how we could change it around, and one of them is exactly this. When a person take upon himself, you know, certain things on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gives them the credit, as if already, right, if they're sincerely in that direction, they want to do that, Hashem already gives them the credit, and it could tilt, you know, the scale. At any way, kol hakolot kesherin b'shofar. Then there is another halakha in shofar, is that if a shofar has a hole in it, it's a holy shofar, right? And you want to fix it. Could you, like, you know, take, you know, how could you fix a shofar? Could you, you know, maybe like you make a patch with something else? The halacha is no. If you want to fix the shofar, you could melt shofar, a different shofar, and with that to seal the hole. But you can't put, like, you know, metal or other things, like, you know, to seal it off with other materials, right? Im nikav ustamo shelo bemino, af al pi she'en ma'akevet hatkia la'achar simam, right? In other words, if there was a shofar that had a hole in it, and you really you sealed it, like, let's say, you know, with some other material other than the shofar itself, and the sound is exactly like before there was a hole in it, still it's pasul. Because the way you mend it, right, it needs to be the same material, the same, right, it has to be only with shofar. And it could be done. If the shofar could be, you know, with heat, if you melt it, so then you could fix it. So what's the philosophy of what's the message of this lesson about Hilchot Shofar? So Shlach HaKadosh says, it's a very important insight. He says, look, a person, when he wants to do teshuva, the teshuva has to be on the sin itself. It can be a person, let's say, goes, he is bechalel Shabbat, he goes, works on Shabbat, he opens his business, and then you know what he takes the money and gives it for tzedakah. It's not going to help, right? The teshuva has to be, you need to fix the Shabbat. You can't bring something else to make up for Shabbat, right? So if a person, like, you know, to give tzedakah, it's always good. But don't think if you go and you work on Shabbat and you give the money for tzedakah, this is going to make up for Chilul Shabbat. The Chilul Shabbat is going to be Chilul Shabbat. You do the mitzvah, you give tzedakah, beautiful. But this is not, right, to fix that. So Shlomo HaKadosh says, this is the message of the shofar. You want to fix, the shofar tells you how to do teshuva. The teshuva has to be on the avera itself. You cannot, right, make up for one avera by doing a different mitzvah, right? The fixing has to be in the same, right, the same area where the shortcoming was. What else do we have? Im nistak le'orko afilu kol shehu pasul. If the shofar has a crack, right, and the crack is through and through, like in the entire length of the shofar has a crack, so this is not a kosher shofar. You cannot blow shofar and cannot do the mitzvah. So Shlomo HaKadosh says that the message is that a person has, the crack cannot be through and through. If a person dies, God forbid, with that crack, with that sin, right? So then, obviously, right, it's not going to be accepted. But if a person would do teshuva a minute before he dies, that would be accepted, right? This is, by the way, the reason why 3 times a day we say vidui. Right? We say vidui 3 times a day. Before we go to sleep, right, we say vidui, right, Kriyat Shema Levita. Tonight also we say vidui. Even though usually, if we don't do, we don't say a certain day, we don't say vidui, the mincha and the Kriyat Shema before we don't say either. Like, you know, any day that Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh, we don't say vidui. But Rosh Hashanah is an exception, because tonight we're going to have Slichot, and in Slichot we say vidui, so tonight also Kriyat Shema, we do say vidui. So why do we say 3 times vidui? Because we want to make sure that, you know, we are not going to leave this world without doing teshuva. Whenever we say vidui, we are doing teshuva. Whenever we say vidui, we take the, it's like somebody's, you know, taken to court, and he comes in front of the judge and he says, you know, your honor, I have done all the sins. Ashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu. You take all the alphabetical, all, I've done everything. So then this way, Be'ezrat Hashem, the judge is going to be, it's going to have compassion on him. That's what we do 3 times a day. At night, in the morning, shacharit, and also in the middle of the day, mincha. Why? Because Shlomo HaMelech says, b'chol et yu begadecha levanim. It should always, you need to be dressed up, right? Shlomo HaMelech says, our existence in this world, right, it's like that there is a, you live in a country, that there is a king, and this king, every night, he has a banquet. And he doesn't tell people in advance when they are going to be invited to that banquet. Just in the middle of the day, he could call them for the banquet. So everybody has to be constantly walking around, all dressed up, because he doesn't know. No, it's unfortunately the opposite. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Bechol, you know, what is this banquet? It's being called up to Hashem, right? Hashem takes back the neshama. So we want to make sure that we are constantly, we are dressed properly. That's why we say, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazanu, because when a person sincerely makes a confession with all the steps of teshuva, so then that Be'ezrat Hashem, his sins are going to be forgiven. So therefore here, if the shofar is cracked all the way, so that's not going to be, you know, if person left this world, the crack is through and through all the way, so he's not going to be accepted. But if the crack is not all the way, like if a minute before he passes on, he does teshuva remorsefully, so this is going to help. And unfortunately, you know, it happens a lot that, you know, I'm called to a hospital, like, you know, somebody is on their deathbed. So, you see, if they are conscious, it's very difficult. So if they understand what's going on and you go and you ask them to see Vidui, so they realize that the days or their hours are numbered, right? So, but you see, I usually would tell them, look, you know, I do it 3 times a day. I do you say today? So, you know, let's say together, right? Or sometimes, you know, if a person is like even in a coma, so I would go and say the vidui for them. Because, you know, if people in coma, the neshama hears everything, right? Because it's very important that the person should not leave this world without doing teshuva. And the vidui is a teshuva. So the Shila says, that's a pshat, that when it says like if the shofar is cracked all the way, right, it's pasul. But if the crack is not all the way, that means he did teshuva like, you know, just a minute before he passed on. That that also is a kosher teshuva, and it's accepted. Then there's another halakha about shofar. Hafacho v'takabo lo yatsa. What about if a person comes and he takes a shofar and he melts it and he makes it inside out? Right? It could be done. Right? This shofar is no good. What's the message? Right? This is, I'm giving you the technical halakha and also what we learned from it as far as the teshuva is concerned. Right? So this is halakha in Shulchan Aruch. Hafacho v'takabo lo yatsa. If a person would take it, right, and would make it inside out, no good. Why? What's the message? When we do teshuva, we have to, you know, when we say vidui, which is a main part of teshuva, making confession, we have to say it quietly. The sins that is between us and us and Hashem, we should not advertise. We cannot take the inside out, right? If a person, like, you know, a person shouldn't go around and unless he has a constructive purpose for it, that he wants to encourage other people to do tshuva. But other than that, to go around and say, you know, I did not keep kosher, I did not do this, I used to be mechalel Shabbat, this and that. These kind of confessions is between us and Hashem, right? That has to be done, you know, quietly. It's between you and Hashem. If a person sinned against other people, right, ben adam lachavero, so that needs to be, right, you know, that kind of vidui has to be done publicly. If a person, like, you know, embarrassed somebody, he has to go and publicly apologize. You know, to me, you know, this year Rosh Chodesh Elul was unbelievable. You see, I have a daf yomi early in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. We have, you know, and it's a, you know, in a group of very devoted, dedicated people. And you see, there was somebody, one of the members of my shiur, of my class. He, you know, somebody sometimes comes, sometimes doesn't come, etc. So, you might like me, Shendach. Something like that. So this guy got very upset. And he took his Gemara and he left the room. See, in front of everybody, you know. It was really, you know, it was very uncomfortable, and I told him, look, you know, this is wrong, etc. I said, you know, make sure, you know, you talk to him, and I called the boy, and I told him, look, you know, he's sorry about it, etc., etc. And he really, whenever you come, it's fine, you know, it's not all or nothing, etc., etc. Fine. The morning after we came, and I was about to start the shiur, so this boy, it's not a boy. This gentleman that had wronged you, he said, Rabotai, I want in front of everybody to apologize to this person. I did what I did was wrong, and I want in front of everybody to apologize. And you see, to me, you know, everybody was like, you know, shaken by it. And to me, and you see, I myself had a sense of joy. I was so happy about this. That this person had the guts in front of everybody to come and. So then I thought to myself, look, right, you know, I'm nobody, right? I'm here, okay, I'm like a teacher in a class. But could you imagine when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, right, Hashem is our Father? What joy he has when he sees his children come and say, Father, I sin, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, right? There is a comparison there, love, right? But you see, here we have to realize, so this guy, I didn't tell him that. He did it on his own. I told him, you know, call him up. So he had called him up, but he realized that's not enough. since he had embarrassed him in front of everybody, he had the guts. He says, and it takes, you know, it takes guts to do this, really. He says, خواهش میکنم خودم جلوی همه میخوام از شما معذرت خواهی بکنم. I did something wrong. It was inappropriate. And this person is much older than the other person. Right. So it really was a, I think, good way to start. סליחות ראש חודש ראש חודש אלול. So but you see, the message is, this is the right thing. You see, this is as far as the sins, and you have to realize, Yom Kippur, the Torah says, "Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem mikol chatoteichem lifnei Hashem titaru." If we have done anything, ben adam lamakom, that Yom Kippur, when you do Teshuvah Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, the majority of the things he forgives. If we have, if we follow the steps of Teshuvah, if we confess, if we regret it, and we take upon ourselves to fix it in the future. But you see, if we have sinned against each other, 100 Kippurs come and go, it's not going to help. Yom Kippur does not help. If I go, right, and I've stolen money from somebody, I say, fast 100 years, it's not going to help. The Torah says, whatever is lifnei Hashem, Yom Kippur would help. But the other ones, we have to take care of ourselves before Yom Kippur. And if we have, and we have to go and to apologize, to go once, twice, three times erev halachot, and obviously the one the person that we have wronged also, they should not be cruel and they should forgive. But you see, if we embarrass somebody in front of the public, the proper thing would be go and to say the vidui in public. But whatever it's between us and Hashem, you should not publicize it. It's chilul Hashem. That's why a shofar, if you take the shofar and make it inside out, it's no good. It has to be, some things are out, some things are in, right? There is a side of vidui that it's outside, that means ben adam lachavero, and there is a side of it that it's inside, that it's hidden between us and Hashem. We have also the teshuvah has to be between us and Hashem and not otherwise. Tzipahu zahav bimkom hanachat pe pasul. There is a halacha about shofar, right? That if you go and you, where the mouth of the shofar is, it cannot make like in a golden, beautify the shofar, to make like in a gold plate that area. No good. Tzipahu zahav bimkom hanachat pe pasul. This shofar is not accepted. That's a halacha. What's the message for us? Right, Shlomo HaKadosh says beautifully. He says, "She'im tzi'eret chaveru afilu bidvarim." If we upset somebody, we put down somebody, etc. Afilu im yirtze lo liten melo beito kesef v'zahav. You go and say, "I'll give you money, I this and that. I'll give you gold, etc." No. Nothing could substitute for the pain. You sin with your mouth, right? Right. He should not think that fine. He's going to give him like money or this and that. This is not going to make up for it. You cannot put zahav, gold, where the mouth should be. He has to go and ask for mechila. Right. There is no substitute for that. En nimchalo ha'avon ad sheyiratzeh et chavero ve'vakesh menu mechila. Right. To go and ask mechila. First and foremost, we need to ask mechila from our parents, right? Parents, spouses, husband, wife, etc. Right? A person has to ask mechila from his teachers, etc. Associates, and there is no substitute for that, right? The boss, if he was cruel to his employees, and comes and gives them before Rosh Hashanah, he gives them some bonus. The bonus is not going to make up for the mouth. you need to go and ask mechila if you wrong somebody. En nimchal, right? That's what tzipahu zahav b'mekom hanachat hapeh, right? You have to go to the person. There are halachot about it, and to make up for the wrong that we have done. What else? Also, hametzayirim b'shofar tzurot tzivonim kedel na'oto lo yafeh musim. Are you allowed to make nice paintings on the shofar? Have a designer shofar, some cool colors, paintings on it, etc. The halacha is, if it does not change the sound of the shofar, it will be tolerated. But lo yafeh mosim. This is not the right, it's not the proper thing to do. So the Shulchan Kadosh says a lot of times, we have sinned, we have wronged people, etc., etc., but somehow we make in our minds, we justify it, all kinds of justifications that are similar, making paintings on the shofar. He says this is not the proper teshuvah. Teshuvah is something that we need to acknowledge what we have done, and without any justifications and rationalizations, etc., we need to go and to apologize and to correct it. So these are some of the messages. It's really, he has much more, but we don't have time for it. I'll conclude with another. The minimum shiur for the shofar is that you could hold it in your hand, and the shofar needs to be seen on both ends. If it's so small that the shofar could be covered in the palm of somebody's hand, that shofar is not kosher. And so what's the message? So Shulchan Kadosh says, if a person is truly become Baal Teshuva, it's good that it has to be seen by others as well. What does it mean? That he should go, a true sign of Baal Teshuva is that he goes and tries to bring his friends also along. Right? That's a message that the shofar should be seen by others. He is holding the shofar in his hand, he knows he has a shofar, but that's not enough. The shofar should be seen by others also. See, that's why also, the one that does hagbaha, right, the one that does hagbaha, it's a big mitzvah. Magbir Keneged, he gets a lot of sachar, because what does the one that does do hagbaha, what does he do? He wants everybody to see the Torah. It's not enough that I go and I say bracha, the bracha after I see it. No, we have to see to it. It's not just me, it's not enough just me that I should see. I have to make sure that everybody sees the Torah. That's why the one who does hagbah, he picks up the Torah and goes around that everybody should see it. And that's why he gets such a big sachar. Right? And it shows the ultimate love to Hashem. You see, if you go, let's say, to somebody, you go to a restaurant, lahavdil, and you're very happy with it. You enjoy going around and advertising it. Go to this person. I had a good experience today in Washington Mutual. it was the guys was I married off my son, and there was some incident. It never happened in my life, but I bounced a few checks because I had a CD there, and I went. Your aunt actually, she helped me. Mrs. Haravi, your Zanamut. I mean, she told me go to speak to this guy. He's gonna take care of. Anyway, so you see, I had a certain CD there that I had left it. I'd saved it for Bezrat Hashem for this kind of occasion. I went to cash the CD, and a lady there told me, no, open a checking account. I don't want you to take the money out of Washington Mutual. She opened the checking account for me. Fine. And then their statements, right, it comes combined of your checking and CD. I look at the balance. I thought I have money. But it was some money from a different CD. So I wrote checks. It never happened to me. Never in my life. So and they had, and I didn't know anything about it, because the few checks had bounced, and anyway, so now they had a lot of fines on it. Also, I went to the bank, and is an Indian from India person, Rafat Ahmad. I said, first of all, who knows? But he was such a nice guy. I spoke to him, and he took care of all the fines, etc. And I just covered whatever was missing, and Baruch Hashem, finished. So you see, I would like to share it, right? So you see, when you like something, you get a good experience, you want to share it. So if a person, a true Baal Teshuva, that is really happy about his Teshuva, the shofar has to be seen by other people also. Is to go around and advertise it. It's so good to keep Shabbat. It's so cool, etc., etc. This shows the ultimate love to Hashem when we go around and we show the shofar to other people as well. So again, these are some insights. There is much more here. I don't know, but maybe it's translated in English also. I don't know. It's Musare Hashla. But I just wanted to conclude with a beautiful story that probably, you know, the ones that come to Torah Chaim, you have heard it, but it's good story. It's good to hear, you know, more than off one, you know. There was a certain Rav in Eastern Europe. His name was Rav Gordon. He was very young. He came to his he became the Rav in the city of Telz. It was a certain, right? My son went, now you know, a lot of these yeshivot in Europe, they were transplanted into America. Telz also were transplanted. My son, older son, he learned in Telz in Chicago. Anyway, but this is, we are talking about back in Europe, in Eastern Europe, there was a city called Telz, and there was a nice Jewish community there, and they needed the Rav. So there was a young, energetic Rav, Rabbi Gordon. They asked him to become the Rav of the city. So he came to the city, and he wanted to build, his plan was to build a big yeshiva there. When he came to the city, right, so the halacha says that the Rav that comes to the city, he should go and check the knives of the shochatim. That the shochatim, they should know that they are unanswerable to somebody, that the knife is 100% kosher. He was a little bit young and probably didn't do it the right way. And it was an older shochet, shochet in town. He went there and said, can I check your, I have to check your knife. So reluctant, you know, he gave him the thing, and the shochet was very insulted. He was very upset. And apparently he also expected that they should have elected him to be the Rav. Anyway, he left town. Fine. Chapter closed. Rabbi Gordon built a beautiful yeshiva in Telz. And the yeshiva became one of the most famous yeshivot in Europe. Years passed. Let's say, you know, when he came to town, he was like, you know, maybe in his late 20s, when he was 30 years old. Now he was like, you know, 50 years later. 50 years later, Rabbi Gordon now is like, you know, 80 years old, in his 80s, early 80s, and there was a fire, and the yeshiva burned down. Baruch Hashem, nobody was hurt, but the yeshiva burned down. And he decided he wants to rebuild the yeshiva. And he decided that he's going to go to England. England is all the way to the west to raise funds to build this yeshiva. Everybody told him, Kvod HaRav, you're an older man, for you to travel. This is those days. We could collect the money around. He said, no. I want to be mezakeh. I wanted the merit also to go to London, etc. I want to go there. Fine, they couldn't stop him. So he gets his horse and buggy, whatever, and he makes a long trip from Eastern Europe, right, all the way to London. And he goes to shuls and he makes appeals, etc. And Baruch Hashem was very, very successful. He comes to one of the biggest shuls in London, and he talks about the yeshiva, etc. And Motzei Shabbat, right? Motzei Shabbat, everybody comes. Right, everybody comes to give him money because he was about to leave town to go back. Right, everybody comes, and you know, somebody, and a very, very old man, comes to him, and he wanted to give him a nice donation, but before he gives him the donation, he tells him, Rabbi Gordon, do you know me? He says, no, I'm sorry, I was supposed to know you, this and that. He says, you remember when you came to Telz, right, at the beginning? He says, yeah. You remember you came to the Shochet? He says, I am that Shochet. And you should know, right, I was very insulted. He says, that day you did not treat me right, etc. And I mean, there were other reasons. Yes, I expected to be the Rav there, etc. But you know, but that, the way, you know, you should have acknowledged me, I was older than you, etc. The way you came and you know. So Rabbi Gordon right away says, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. My apologies, probably I was young, I did not act properly, etc. I didn't have the Derech Eretz, etc. I beg you to forgive me. Right? He says, I forgive you. He says, I forgive you. That night, Rabbi Gordon passed away. That night he passed away, and he's buried, not in Telz. He should have been, you know, he was the Rav of, He is buried in London. So at his eulogy, this guy got up. He was older than him. He said, Rabotai, you should know, this Rav Gordon was such a tzaddik. He was such a tzaddik that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem made that fire in his yeshiva, in Telz, and put in his mind, out of all the places, to come to London for fundraising, just for this purpose, that he should come here, and I should meet him. I didn't know anything about this, you know that I should, and last night this is what happened. And I forgave him, I was mochel him, and now already he could go up. Okay, no, we don't have the zuchuyot offered by Gordon, that Hashem should do all these miracles for us. Please, we have some time, if not before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, we should look around and see, and it could be segula for Arechut Yamim. You see, Rabbi Gordon, somebody said that he probably was supposed to pass away. He was very old, even before this. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu extended his life that he should not leave this, because otherwise, who knows? Maybe he had to come back with Gilgul, who knows? Right? But you see, we should not wait for that. We have to look around, because again, Yom Kippur is going to come, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning. The main thing is Yom Kippur. Right, and Rosh Hashanah, we keep cool. We don't talk about any sins, anything. Right? But you know, the main thing is Yom Kippur. We have, prior to that, we have to realize Yom Kippur is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Bayom Hazeh Yechaper Alechem Mikol Chatotechem Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Anything that it's against Hashem, Chas V'Chalila, that, Teshuvah, Ta'anit, etc., is going to help. But whatever it's among us, right, so this is not, Yom Kippur is not going to help. So if I've wronged anybody here, there are some of Torah Chaim students here, if I punished you improperly, etc., I ask Mechila. Okay? Anyway.